You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Risa E. Lewis.
I'm Dr. Adara Landry, and this
is the Earn and Invest Podcast.
It was all a matter of incremental gain. The first time I was asked to speak in front of an audience in medical school, I was ill-prepared. My pitch to recruit hospice volunteers was disjointed, my stories weren't engaging, and my points were interrupted with a lot of ums, uhs, and you knows. I didn't become a good public speaker overnight, but I got better each time. First, I worked on my stories. Then it was my delivery, how I paused or gestured with my hands, my facial expressions. Each talk was a chance to implement my new skills. Eventually, I learned how to interact with the audience and react in real time. I now consider myself a very proficient public speaker, but I didn't go from novice to expert immediately. My progress was punctuated by what I previously had called incremental gains. I know now what I was really doing is stacking micro skills. Risa Lewis is a professor of emergency medicine, a TEDMed speaker, and a Time's Up Healthcare founder. She's an internationally renowned point-of-care ultrasound educator and champion for diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplaces. As host and founder of the Visible Voices podcast, she interviews subject matter experts in healthcare, equity, and current trends. Adara Landry is an award-winning mentor, assistant professor at Harvard Medical School, emergency medicine physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and healthcare contributor at Forbes magazine. She's co-founder for a nonprofit, Writing in Color, which teaches people of color how to write for free. Their book, Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact, will be released April 16th. Risa and Adara, welcome to Earn and Invest. Adara, I want to jump right in. You start your book with a bold premise. You say the promise of this book, Micro Skills, is simple. If you buy this book on Friday, you will be better at your job by Monday. How could that be?
There's a backstory to that. Well, first, can I just say thank you so much for having us on. This is a really exciting opportunity to chat with you. So first, there's a backstory to this. And I think it really starts with Risa and I doing background work, reading all sorts of business, self-help books, articles, listening to podcasts, and talking to people. And what we found was that a lot of folks are looking for help. And when they seek the help, they find large recommendations, right? Like, I need to be better at work. And someone says, well, go get an MBA. Well, that's not really an overnight change. Like, do you know how long it takes to get an MBA? You have to first do the GMAT, then you have to get letters of rec and apply and wait and matriculate. I mean, that's not an overnight change, right? And so if you're looking for help now, you want solutions now, right? That can be implemented now. And so the design of this book was really based on the idea that we only wanted to recommend things that we felt could be immediately actionable. So in this book, no matter what page you turn to, what chapter you start with, if you read something there, it's going to be to the point where you can implement it immediately, such that if you were to buy this book on a Friday and start implementing those things and thinking about it over the weekend, by Monday, you're already better at work.
Risa, how do we define a micro skill? I mean, is it just that it's immediately actionable, or are there other ways that we can look at what a micro skill is versus a macro skill?
We thought a lot about this concept and what to call it. And truth be told, Adara and I are both physicians. You're a physician. So we gave an example of someone comes into the emergency department and they've cut their knee. To suture that, to sew that cut, there are these small steps that are incremental. They build upon each other, and then they're translatable. You can use those steps for the next cut that you're suturing, or it's not just about suturing. We also use the example of tying your shoe. And when we learned how to tie our shoes back in the day when there were ties, because, you know, it's very, there's clogs, there's Velcro. Anyway, you know, it was step by step. You broke down the whole process of tying and creating a beautiful bow into step by step of the cross, the pull. Everybody understands the concept. So what we wanted to do was make navigating the workplace and being better at work digestible, navigable, as in navigatable, and doable. And what I'll say is that this concept of breaking things down just made everything seem more doable. And I'm going to use an analogy of the personal finance world with which you'll be familiar. And that's all the finance books that say, well, just start a budget, just write a budget. And I cannot tell you how many personal finance books I put down back on the bookshelf, did not purchase because it asked me to make a budget, which just seemed completely insurmountable. However, when I found the books that said, you don't need to make a budget, start with a file, make a few files, label your files. So again, breaking it down into small, doable steps that I felt in my scope, in my ability, I was sold.
So Risa and I, yes, we're physicians, but we're also educators. And we have learned how to teach. And the theories and approaches to teaching are universal no matter what field it is, right? And what we have learned with education is that if you tell someone to do something and you only give them that final goal, they can start moving without ever having the understanding, the exposure of their own knowledge gaps, right? And so they can struggle, they can get stuck, they can feel discouraged. And so what we really want people to understand is, yes, you can have these large goals, but it's really good to think about how you can break it down and expose to yourself, where are the areas where I'm getting stuck, right? Like if I want to be someone who gives a conference, like you mentioned in your story, there are many things that you have to do to organize a conference, right? Like you need to recruit speakers. You need to make sure your speakers are of good quality and teach them. You have to get funding. You have to do all these things to get to that final goal. And so the idea of a micro skill is that, you know, these small things are going to help you get to that goal.
And what I'll add is this concept of the book journey, the book writing journey. You write a proposal, and in your proposal, you suggest comp titles, comparative titles. And what Adair and I found when we did a deep dive and we read lots of books is a lot of books said, just do this, go out and do this. But they didn't provide the how. And so as Adair just talked about large goals, some people just become paralyzed and just walk away and just abandon that goal. We don't want that to happen to the readers, to anybody. And so by telling the how and leading them to with the small steps, we thought we'd help people be better.
Risa, let's talk about the just do this ethos, because I think a lot of people, as you said, when they come to something new, the experts say, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. Just do this. But it brings up the question about how much being good at something or being good at your job is learnable versus innate ability. I feel like in micro skills, you really make one argument more than the other.
Thanks for that question. And thanks for the thought behind the question, Jordan. Very appreciated. You're spot on. I think there's something in rugged individualism of the American democracy that is history, et cetera, that some things are innate and some things are not. And you're either smart or you're not. You either have the ability to speak or you don't. You can write or you can't. And Adair and I are firmly committed to that. That is not true. You may need to know how. You may need to get resources, gain micro skills. But almost everything is attainable if you just know how to break it down. So to speak a little specifically of how we approach that in the book is we put forth a micro skill and we start with a story. And intentionally, each of the stories is illustrative to demonstrate the microskill and how we struggled with this, how we learned this, why, how we learned that this microskill was even important. Then we say to the reader, this is why it's important. Then we say, this is why it's difficult. We get it. Humanize, normalize. This is difficult. And then we follow that with critical actions of breaking it down into little steps to take to get the microskill.
What I really appreciated about this is there was a lot of thought into what categories first to think about and then to break those down in the microskills. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But Risa, first, you guys mentioned in your introduction that while writing this book, you kept on bumping up against three enduring truths. And I want to talk about those truths for a moment. The first one is that time can only be spent. Explain what that means and how it affects our work lives.
It's not by accident that we're speaking on a podcast that is finance oriented, because currency, I'm going to bring up the word currency. And, you know, listeners, readers understand this concept of money and currency, and that you can put that and store that in the bank. But au contraire, time, you can't store time. You can't save that for later. Time is only spent. And I think, and I'll bring in the fact that we're physicians and we're on education as many, many, many years, you realize that you need to be intentional about how you spend your time, with whom you spend your time. And that goes back to even the efficiency of this read and our tagline about Friday to Monday. We want to be respectful of our readers because we respect ourselves.
Adair, one of the second things you guys said you bumped up against is that the world is not equal. Are microskills an adaptation to maybe how the world is today and about some things we can't necessarily change?
Well, I think if you've ever been a part of a mentoring program or an orientation or onboarding program, you might have met other people who are starting a position at the same time as you, and realized that, wow, we all have very different experiences. We are all starting at different points. Maybe someone has parents who are very successful, or someone else has a network. Other people might have money or prior experience, but we're all different. Right. And so what happens in many cases when we enter a workplace is that we're assumed to be the same, and we are assumed to have the similar needs. And when we wrote the book, we actually wanted to really dive into this idea of assuming everyone is the same and think about, like, how can we sort of mitigate that easy trap that authors fall into, which is like giving advice that some people just cannot carry out because they don't have the money, they don't have the time, they don't have the network. And so we really tried to unfold all of these strategies into the most basic ways, assuming there's going to be a wide variety of readers. Some people might know a little bit more than others, but we definitely didn't want to leave anyone behind. And I think, yes, to your question about, like, is this a modern way of thinking? It's definitely more inclusive. Like, we want to include people who have historically been left out, who have been forgotten about, who have entered any workplace and wondered, why is everyone else succeeding but me?
Risa, I think it plays into the third big point you kept on bumping up against, which is this idea that learning is limitless if it is accessible. What have been the barriers to accessibility up to this point that you felt teaching about microskills could help?
So all these three relate to each other. And as expressed, we tried to make no assumptions, knowing that we weren't going to be perfect, but we certainly were going to try. Not everybody starts at the same starting line. Not everybody has the same resources. And so this concept of learning and this concept of accessibility, I think it's assumed if you've had certain privileges, if you've had a model set before you, that everybody has accessibility to education and learning. And it's just not true. It's just not true. And Adair and I had this experience in medicine. Our experiences are different and overlapping and complementary. So I came from a family, there are no physicians. I came from a family where there were very traditional gender assumptions. Boys do this, girls do that. So I actually was not educated on finance. I keep bringing it about to finance because it's a finance podcast. And I also share your interest in, because I think it's part of taking care of yourself. And that's actually also in the book about self-care. Those are two examples of sort of access that, you know, was I able to address these challenges? Absolutely. Are there worse things in life? Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, like, I came starting, for example, medical school with some different knowledge gaps than other people. And, you know, jokingly, a lot of times sports references are made. And Adair and I talk a lot about a playbook. And there certainly have been many times in my life, it wasn't just medicine, that I felt like somehow everybody else in the room got a copy of the playbook. I didn't get a copy. And gosh, we really would love to create this playbook to give to everybody so everybody shows up with knowledge.
When I entered residency, I happened to go to this orientation that was optional. It was like an afternoon session that you didn't have to go to, but I said, I'm going to go. And there was another orthopedic surgeon, a surgical resident there. And someone asked, like, what's one piece of advice you recommend every resident do? And he said, invest in the 403B as much as you can, like max it out. I know you're a resident, but you are going to thank me in 10, 15 years when this grows. I had never heard of a 403B. I didn't come from a house where my parents spoke about finance in that regard. So from that standpoint, the world was not equal, and that I came into residency like with a huge gap from a financial standpoint. And I didn't know that like investing early is very important. That sort of speaks to the time thing. And then when it comes to learning, like I had to learn about personal finance. That wasn't something that just came to me, but that required me buying books, right? I needed money for that. I needed to have a network for people I can tap to. So that all required some form of accessibility. And so all of these things you can look and say, I don't know anything about finance. I'm not going to move in that direction. I'm going to avoid it. You know, if you can recognize that the reason why you might be avoiding it is because you don't understand that, like, there are systems and structures in place that have made you disadvantaged, then that's something that can really hurt someone down the line.
Adair, what I love about this book is you use micro skills then to speak to some of those disadvantages, how to give people the micro skills they need to be successful. You break the book down into chapters, and the chapters describe various categories and then the related micro skills. I feel like the micro skills follow from the category chapters, but how did you go about deciding what categories to address? I mean, some examples are self-care, managing a task list, communication. How did you build up those groups of categories to decide to put them in the book?
From our personal struggles, from experience mentoring and supporting other people, we knew we wanted a comprehensive book. This book is, from our perspective, a very comprehensive guide. It's different than buying a book that's specifically on public speaking, right? We cover public speaking, but it's not the same as just buying a book on that one particular focus. We wanted to do that because, generally speaking, in our experience as mentors, so just, you know, people who are early career professionals or even our peers, usually people have multiple problems when it comes to the workplace. It's not just, you know, I'm not getting lectures. It's I also feel unsupported. I also feel burnt out. I also really don't know how to become an expert. I don't really know my next steps. It's like as you peel back the layers of the onion, you realize, wow, there's actually a much bigger issue here. And we really wanted to make this a guide that felt comprehensive. Like it felt like it was really going to support someone holistically and not just be like a very targeted skill set that they're learning.
So Risa, as Adair said, this is a very comprehensive book. So we're not going to get to every category and micro skill here, but I'd like to give people a flavor of some of them in a kind of fun way. Risa, tell me about what category or micro skill, as you were writing this, you realized that you yourself struggled most with in the workplace.
Oh, that's a good question.
Provocative question.
It's really good.
We only ask the tough questions here.
That's a good one.
I'm going to bring up both polished communication as well as navigating conflict, because I think the navigating conflict requires skill in communication. So as I shared already, every single micro skill has a story attached to it. And Adair and I went back and forth with sharing our stories. I have been in the workplace for over 25 years, and I've had plenty of opportunities, I'll call them, to deal with and navigate conflict. And what I'll start with is talking about watching others. I'm a big observer of people. And as I was moving from instructor to assistant to associate to full sort of early career into firmly mid-career, I had the opportunity to watch quite a few heads of emergency department leaders navigate conflict. And what I saw felt very, very, very unsatisfactory. They avoided it, hoped it would go away. They handed off the conflict. And in fact, I sort of was slow on the uptake to a boss. They handed off a difficult conversation to me and kind of avoided responsibility. And I started amongst the many leaders with whom I'd interacted, there was one who really, really took on difficult conversations and navigated conflict because conflict often requires some means of communication, whether it's an actual one-on-one, an email, a letter, an activity, a team building workshop, fill in the blank about how that is navigated. But I found that it was very rare to navigate conflict well and navigate it in a way that you, as the person part of that relationship, feels good and the other person feels good and resolved. The reason I bring that up as a micro skill chapter that was difficult is because it was reliving some tough stories, some tough situations in the workplace, and also how acknowledging aloud how certain situations I did not handle the way I would have in retrospect, and also realizing what did I do to try to get better. And I think that's sort of the theme thread throughout the book is that these things, you can get better, you can be better. And it's amazing to be the other side of something where you're like, okay, I got this, or at least I know how I'm going to try to get this. Early on, when someone's just entering the workforce, there are a lot of these situations can be paralyzing and just, you know, make people feel powerless and sort of spiral down.
How did you get better? I mean, this gets into the specifics of the micro skills. What do you think when it came to conflict was really helpful where you kind of clicked in your head and you said, ah, this is how I start to manage this?
There's certain solutions that we bring up a lot throughout the book because they're just very applicable. And, you know, I could say, oh, I read a book. And it's true. I read. I'm a believer in reading yourself out of one's deficiencies. So I definitely would read Difficult Conversations. I read Crucial Conversations, but I have a bent for Difficult Conversations. But that's sort of easy and kind of non-committal. What I'll say is I think one of the most important things and one of my biggest guides today, as well as 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, was what we kind of switch up in term is the personal board of directors, having your go-to people. And I cannot underestimate and overstate the value of having your people. And, you know, my person for finance is actually different than my person for a workplace conflict. My person to role play a difficult conversation is different than my person who I talk to about how to get promoted at work. You know, sort of, number one, there's the sense of everybody's skilled at different things. So sort of, you know, having a board and having a table that there's always seats at the table. Like I love bringing on people and knowing that some people that are sitting at your table at your board meeting this year may not be sitting at your table next year because they've grown a certain way, you've grown a certain way, or the reason they came into your life and you know what they were able to help you with is no longer an active issue. So that concept of, you know, and we're not the first ones to write about this, this board of directors, personal board of directors, professional board of directors, your go-to people, that is something that I just cannot state enough how much I value and how important it is to me.
Adara, I shoot the same question at you. Mm-hmm. Which of these categories have you personally really struggled with? Category or micro skill that you really kind of realized as you were writing this, you're like, oh yeah, this brings up a lot of emotion for me.
Well, all of them for sure. And just as a disclaimer, like Risa and I write from a very personal place. These books, these writings that we've done, in, not even just this book, but in articles have always come from a personal struggle that we have had and a lesson that we have had. In this case, for this question, I would say for sure the subject matter expert chapter was one that I thought was hard for me. So I, you know, I work at Harvard and I'm surrounded by experts, like phenomenal people, incredibly bright, and they are just like chugging, like they are just doing so well. And it's really hard to not compare yourself. I mean, it's just, it's hard. Like I try not to, but it's a challenge. And so, you know, I'm in the middle of my career, I would say mid-career. And I would say in the early part of my career, like many people, I wanted to also be seen as an expert in something, right? And I had a skill set with ultrasound, and I was known by my, you know, local team as someone who was an expert in ultrasound, but people across the country would not have known my name, right? And like, no one would have said, oh, we need a speaker, let's get Adara, right? Because I didn't have that reputation. I didn't even know how to gain it. And so I remember just thinking, like, how are all of these people? I worked with an amazing mentor, Dr. Mike Stone, and he was always being recruited. And I was like, how do you get to that level where like companies want to hire you, right? Not even just like your own peer group in your own specialty, but like across fields, you're being recruited and recognized. And so that took me years to really understand what expertise was, right? Like being a thought leader, a key opinion leader, like how that is defined and the ways to get there. And so for me, you know, the ways to get there, even with like becoming an expert in writing, right? Like Risa and I have a skill that we can now teach to other people. Understanding that like, hey, that's going to actually mean doing the practice, like doing the work, like having a position or trying to have something that is like tied to your name, like maybe a blog or articles in print, speaking, right? Trying to get lecturing gigs, collaborating with other experts so that when they have an opportunity that they don't want, they can pass over to you. Getting onto national organizations and having like these larger leadership titles, right? Like all of that stuff. Again, it's not like when you sign a contract at a job, they're going to say, by the way, in 10 years, if you want to be an expert, these are the 20 steps for you to take to get there, right? And so you really have to ask questions, and you have to ask invasive questions. Like you can't just tell someone, hey, good job on the opportunity and hope that they sit you down and tell you how they got it, right? You have to say, oh my God, I saw that you gave a TEDx talk. How did you get that? Someone emailed me. Like, no, who emailed you? And then what did you do? And it's funny because if you don't really, and I'm not telling people to be like aggressive with this, but I'm just saying like, you have to take charge, right? And like, you have to own it. And so if you don't do that and you're just sitting there sort of waiting for someone to save you and to like make you an expert into something, you're going to be waiting for a while. Yes, there are probably outliers to that, but for the most part, most of us need to assume full responsibility of our careers. And I'm going to assume a lot of your listeners are going to be people who are wanting to learn about finance. And then you probably have people who are experts and just want to also hear your opinion, or people who are budding experts. And so no matter where they are, there's something that they can teach. And just starting by just teaching what you know and doing that to different demographics, publishing, getting on other podcasts, giving lectures, right? Giving into different fields. That's something that I did not know until, you know, very recently.
We are talking to Risa Lewis. She is a professor of emergency medicine, a TEDMed speaker, and a Time's Up Healthcare founder. And Adara Landry is an award-winning mentor, assistant professor at Harvard Medical School, emergency medicine physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And their book is Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact. We're going to take a short break. I'm Doc G, and this is the Earn and Invest podcast. All right, so most of us know the bad news already. If you were using Mint as a budgeting app, it has shut down. But the good news is there's something better, and it's called Monarch Money. I started using Monarch Money myself about 5 months ago, and I knew immediately that I liked it more than any other budgeting app I had ever used. For one, it focuses on collaboration. This is easy to share with your spouse, your partner, your financial advisor, and it's aspirational. Not only can you look at your current budget, but what do you want to buy? What do you want your goals to be? You can focus on those in Monarch Money. It's the next generation of personal finance apps. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Furthermore, you can create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/earn. Again, that's monarchmoney.com/EARN. What I like about this app is it's intuitive, easy to use, quick to sign on. It's collaborative, as we talked about. It's customizable. The idea is you can use this app the way you want to use it. And the reason why is the Monarch Money team is customer focused. They are focusing on you, me, and all the other people who want to use this app to live a better financial life. After trying out Monarch Money for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/earn. That's monarchmoney.com/earn for your extended 30-day free trial. You know what? I love our meals from Factor. My son started getting them about a year ago when he needed a quick alternative to meals on the go. But where we've really enjoyed them is we've been remodeling our kitchen. That's right, we've had no access to our kitchen for the last few weeks. And some nights, we just had no idea what to do for a meal. That is where Factor came in. We would just pop the meal in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, we'd have a fantastic meal. You can do the exact same thing, and there's tons of variety. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week. These are chef-prepared meals, and let me tell you, they are delicious. No fuss, no mess. You just put it in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, you have a meal. This is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Head to factormeals.com/earn50 and use your code EARN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code EARN50 at factormeals.com/earn50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are back with Risa Lewis. She is a host and founder of the Visible Voices podcast, where she interviews subject matter experts in healthcare equity and current trends, as well as Adara Landry. She's a co-founder for a nonprofit, Writing in Color, which teaches people of color how to write for free. Their book, Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact, will be released April 16th. Adara, we've been talking about this idea that there are these big categories which are important for work and life, and then you guys look at those categories and talk about the different micro skills. But I'm wondering, is there a hierarchy? I mean, are some of these categories or micro skills more important or dominant to other ones?
We think so. And we sort of have this layering system of how we approach the strategies, where we want things to start with the self. Like, you have to be in a good position mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, right? To really try to invest even more of yourself into your career. And so for us, that's why we put the opening chapter as self-care. That just made the most sense. Like, how do you make sure that you are in a good spot? And so we think after, moving into like ideas about caring for yourself, we felt like it was probably time to start talking about the team. How to be a member of a community and understand the culture of the community and get to know the people you're working with and be a source of support for others, as well as learning how to like network and extract skills and knowledge from other people. Like that back and forth is very important. And then, I think once that's there, I think you can then really start focusing on the work. And we really wanted to put, people before the work, because really those connections are really going to be very valuable beyond, like, even when you leave that particular job. And so nurturing the people more than, projects is a skill that we really wanted to emphasize in how we constructed the book.
Risa, we've been talking very positively about these micro skills, but is there such thing as micro skills gone wrong? I mean, do people apply these incorrectly or actually cause more problems?
Who's the famous writer that said everything in moderation, including moderation? So, of course, we're new on our journey of putting our words out to the world. We've had a lot of beta readers and generosity from people such as yourself. So, the micro skills gone wrong, I think anything extreme can go wrong. And I think that's the power of the build, meaning at some point, almost like riding a bike, many of us don't think about getting on the bike, pedaling the bike, maintaining our balance. We just get on, we ride our bike. So our goal is that once people have read, once people have acquired, once people have integrated, certain things become second nature. They become acquired traits, acquired characteristics, and they just know what they're doing. And I think this is best illustrated when you move jobs. You go, sometimes you're like, did I learn anything? You know, am I going to be okay at my next position? You move to your next position. You're like, oh, I know how to do this. Oh, I know how to write an email. Oh, I know how to prepare for my lecture that I'm giving in a month. So that's sort of a bit sideways response to your question about, can they go wrong? Can they go? Sure. You know, almost anything can go wrong. Do we think that, you know, our experience, you know, we didn't do research on these micro skills. They are our lived experience with literature, say it like that, literature supporting it. We would never claim that every single micro skill and every single situation is going to apply equally to every person. And we believe that everybody can get a pearl from everything we put down on the paper.
But Dara, talk about differentiating the forest from the trees. How do we integrate all we're learning about these micro skills, but still keep the big picture in mind?
You know, it's definitely going to be a day-by-day practice for most folks to make a change, right? And so adapting small steps is the easiest. And I think that's probably why we broke it down to critical actions. When I meet with my advisees, like the first time I meet with them at the medical school, and in my first meeting every year, I ask them, how will you know first year has been successful? Like when you think about this year, like how will you know you did exactly what you were planning to do and you feel like it was a good investment of your time? This is a $50,000 investment, you can argue. And so how will you know it's worth it? And I have them think about that literally on our first meeting. So, you know, a few weeks into medical school. And I do that because I think it's helpful for people to think about where they want to go. And then once they answer that question, then I can think about, okay, so what are the things that you need today to get you there? You know, when we think about micro skills, most people want to just feel like they understand the workplace, like they're not lost. They now have tools and skills that they can use to reach whatever goal it is that they have later in life. But they now have varied skill sets and they have this structure of thinking about, you know, we purposely made the book like very formatted, and we did that for a reason, which is that we really wanted to just repeat this idea of like thinking about the story, your personal story. Why do you want this particular skill? What is it that you want to change and what's driving that? That like point of reflection is really important because that is going to set the pace for like, okay, this is really the launching point. Like I am upset with my boss. I need to learn how to have a difficult conversation with them. And so this is very important to me. And then we talk about why we need it. And again, we think about the relevance, right? We're not asking people to change just for the sake of changing. It's again, this like point of reflecting, what are you trying to get out of it? And then as Risa said, we try to acknowledge that these are hard things to do. It's not easy just to like become a subject matter expert. And we want to normalize that. And then the critical actions. So when I meet with my students, like I said, I'm going to go back to that. And I tell them, how is this year going to be successful for you? That to me is the big forest. Then we start talking about the trees. Like what is it that's going to help you get there? And why do you feel like you need these small skills? Like what is that going to bring to you? Why is it hard? Why haven't you done it? It just helps. I think just helps kind of create this path or process that is easy to follow, easy to replicate.
Risa, throughout the book, it's clear that diversity and equity are very important to both of you. You're both women. One of you is a woman of color. Talk about how applying micro skills is different, maybe for both of you compared to me, for instance.
When we started writing this book, people said, oh, it's a book for doctors. And we're like, no. Oh, it's a book for women. We're like, nope. And we understand when audience readers look at us, they're like, oh, is this going to be applicable to me? And one of the things we noticed as we did this deep dive into business self-help books and authors and who those authors are, what those authors look like, they don't look like us and they don't have our backgrounds, specifically physicians, specifically emergency physicians. I started seeing this trend as we started writing from outside the medical literature into the lay press, that basically what's going on in one industry is often what's going on in other industries. And so we really knew as a start to this writing that what we put down on paper would be applicable to everybody, every reader. And to your point about, you know, we did write from this vantage of diversity, equity, inclusion, access, belonging, all these terms that we do not take lightly and do not minimize, because we really think that many books are not written with that true intention that comes from both heart and head. We really want everybody to win. And that sounds kind of trite, but it's true. And we know that everybody wants to win, whatever the heck winning means. But this world, this country, these industries don't set everybody up to win. It's actually designed and baked into the process. And so we want to create ways to have everybody get access to the recipe. I'm making a whole baking sort of analogy here. But really, we want everybody to have access to how to navigate and how to win at work. And we're not naive about systemic racism and institutionalized misogyny and sexism, all the isms that we want to consider. It's there. It's every industry. Let's move on and let's figure out how to do better and how to make it better for everybody.
So we had at one point thought about having a separate DEI chapter. And we were going to just talk about what it's like to be a woman, a person of color, someone who is not fully able-bodied, and all of these sorts of reflections in a separate chapter. But as we were writing it and drafting it, it felt like it would be better to integrate all of those skills into the entire book, because as a woman of color, I don't integrate my experience as a woman of color, as a Black woman, into every little thing that I do. Like, I can't separate out my identity. It's like, it's part of me no matter what goal I have. And there are things in the system that no matter what I do, are just going to be against me. And so we didn't really feel like it was the best move to separate those things.
Adair, I want to jump on this idea of chapters that you didn't write. This is a very comprehensive book. And in fact, you guys say specifically you wanted this to be comprehensive, but there are only so many categories you could address, only so many micro skills you could show for those categories. Tell me about a category that didn't make the cut. You mentioned DEI. Were there others that you were just on the cusp of putting in the book and decided either there's no space or it's redundant or, we're at 350 pages. We don't want to go any further.
There are so many. I think there were so many things that we couldn't include, which is why we have a clause that this book won't cover everything. I think we had to go back and add that. And I think it sort of speaks to just how complicated the workplace is. Because if you just think about all of the roadblocks that you can have when you're thinking about just the self, right? Like your ability to take care of your body, your ability to take care of your finances, that list is actually quite long, and we had to even trim that, things related to just self-help. And then we start talking about the team and integrating with people and hierarchies and personality conflicts and due dates and the pressure to succeed. That's a whole new layer of stuff. So we definitely had a lot that we could. I think our first draft, Risa, was 90 something thousand words. And they're you need to get this closer to 60, 70,000. So we had a lot of content that we had to trim.
Risa, there's a big difference between knowing better and doing better, right? And so I think a lot of what we do is we go and we learn this knowledge, but we have trouble implementing it. Take us from thought to action. Are there any tricks we can use to take all this knowledge we're getting from this book and actually take that first step and make sure we start implementing some of these micro skills?
I think you can start right away. So when the reader picks up the book and flips through and finds a micro skill that catches their eye, or maybe there's something they're working on, one of my dearest college friends just ascended to a leadership position in her department. She's also a doctor, and she was going to be leading a meeting. And so she was one of our beta readers, and she went right to the chapter on running a meeting and polished communication. And she said she directly applied some of the micro skills. And this is a mid, almost now late career professional. And I was so psyched because I was okay, I think Adair and I are onto something. I answer the question that way because it's don't wait, don't pass go, don't collect $200. Just start and start small. You don't have to read the book immediately cover to cover. We'd like it if readers do. They don't have to, but also it does not have to be read sequentially, chronologically, cover to cover. So pick it up and go to an area that you either need to work on today or tomorrow or next week, or something that keeps haunting you that you want to figure out how to get better and how to be better.
Reese and Adair, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today. I imagine someone could ask us, well, what the heck does this have to do with finance? And it actually has a huge amount to do with finance and your money and your life. First and foremost, we're talking about getting better at your job, right? And this is how you're going to make your financial future. But more importantly than that, when we talk about personal finance a lot, we talk about how it's really easy to get confused by the big picture, right? We look at something like financial independence and we say, oh my God, that's so far away. How are we going to get there? But actually, what we preach is incremental change, right? First, you have to start thinking about your emergency fund. Get a little money together, have an emergency fund. Then we have to look at your 401k. Then we have to look about taxable accounts. All of this is building a series of easier steps to get to your ultimate goal. And that's exactly what micro skills are. It's breaking down the big and the scary and the difficult into the steps we can take today to make our lives better, whether it is financially, whether it's in our jobs, or whether it's in our life. I want to end this episode the way and every episode by asking you what's up next in your life and where we can find you. Risa, first and foremost, tell us about when the book comes out. If it hasn't already, we'll probably drop this right around the book date, but tell us when it's coming out and where people can find it.
Launch date is April 16th, 2024. The book is available wherever you buy books, virtually or in bookstores. You can find out more by reading. We each have our own websites as well. There's a HarperCollins, our publisher, that's carrying information about the book.
And Adaira, if people want to reach you directly, is there a way for them to do that?
We are, I think, are on all of the socials. So I think we're on X, Instagram. I have a TikTok. I'm embarrassed to admit it, though. And LinkedIn for sure. So any of those, our DMs are open.
Well, the book is called Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact. Risa Lewis and Adaira Landry, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been great.
That's a wrap.
Earn and Invest is now part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to this show as well as other fine podcasts.
I love this conversation with Risa and Adaira, not just because they're physicians like me, but because they're talking about something that's deeply important to me. That is micro skills. The idea is that when we have these big goals, these big ideas, these big plans, whether it be at work or in life, instead of trying to tackle the whole goal, we should break it down into these smaller skill sets, more manageable bite-sized pieces, and then we should attack them one by one. So this book is great, Micro Skills, because it breaks down some of those leading categories in which to get ahead and work, and then shows you the different micro skills involved. But I want to broaden the conversation and think a lot about how we move towards being the people we want to be. I often talk about purpose, but the idea is we have these things that are deeply important to us. And I think we make the mistake of putting these big, audacious goals in place. So maybe we're excited about financial independence, but then we make the big, audacious goal of having $5 million or $10 million or, God forbid, something like $1 billion. And the goal is so big, we don't know how to get there. And it actually makes us upset. It gives us anxiety, depression, fear. This is what I call purpose anxiety. And I think it's really, really common. Instead, I've been arguing for a long time that we have to focus on smaller things that feel like purpose to us. So instead of worrying about having a net worth of $10 million or $15 million, we need to focus on doing things that excite us, that brings us joy, and that also moves us forward. So maybe you like studying index funds. Maybe you like budgeting. Maybe doing those things brings you a certain amount of joy, and it's a good way to spend your time. And you can give up this idea of some net worth number and more shoot for something like, well, how do I do those little pieces that will get me there, but little pieces that I enjoy? This is the idea of incremental gain. So I think we can have purpose or a plan without some kind of goal, But I think we can get let go of those big audacious goals and instead work on those small improvements, the incremental gain, the micro skills. And so I have a framework where I talk about purpose when I call it the climb. The idea, again, is to let go of the big goals when it comes to purpose and think more about the little things we can do that we enjoy the process of doing. But all of us are achievers, so it's very unlikely that we're going to get really excited by some idea of purpose that doesn't have at least some improvement involved. That's why I think a lot of our improvement, instead of being that kind of big goal, we should focus on improvements that we have agency or power to make. So I often talk about, I love podcasting. If my big audacious goal was to have 1 million downloads a month, that's something that's really far and out of my reach. And of course, I can do some things towards that. But if that's my purpose, if that's my goal, I'm going to probably feel a little bit empty inside, or at least anxiety ridden, because there's a good chance that I just won't get there. I might not have the listenership. This might be a hard time to build podcasts because there's tons more podcasts out there than they were 5 years ago. There's lots of reasons why I might not have agency to achieve that goal. But instead, if I look at the micro skills, if I look at the incremental gain, maybe I can focus on becoming a better interviewer. I can study other interviewers. I can practice my trade, hone my skills. These micro skills or this incremental gain are all things that I have supreme control over. They're things I have agency over. So I can do something like improve my podcast. I can improve my interview skills. I can have better artwork and better graphic design. I can get a better logo. All of these things are within my reach and available to me. And most importantly, they don't depend on other people. So if I look at this big audacious goal of getting 1 million downloads a month, that really depends on all these other people doing their part. And the truth of the matter is, I have no control over what other people do, but I do have control over what I do. And again, I think that's why I really connect with this message about micro skills, whether it be in the workplace, whether it's building a podcast, whatever you decide your purpose is, we can break down these bigger goals that are sometimes unattainable, make them into more enjoyable micro goals or micro skills, and learn them, and we will have supreme agency over whether we get there or not. We will depend on ourselves and not other people. I think this is really important. I think this is one of those keys to success at work, to success in your path to financial independence, and success in finding your purpose. Which of course reminds me about the Path to Purpose coaching program. You guys know that I've been coaching people. I've had a really good experience with this. I really think this type of coaching can change people's lives. Many people are stuck out there trying to figure out what purpose looks like in their life, and they are struggling. One of the first things we look at is meaning. In other words, we delve into people's past and see how it affects their feelings about today. And after that, there's just a certain series of steps we can take, forms we can fill out, exercises we can do that can help you find what's purposeful for you today. That is Path to Purpose Coaching. Go to earnandinvest.com/coaching. Again, that's earnandinvest.com/coaching. Awesome. As you guys may or may not know, I usually leave the mic going so we can just catch a little bit of our after show, what we talk about. Reese, it was a really good point you brought up at the end, which is one I was hoping to talk about either here or somewhere in our discussion. I was really hit by this idea that you can pick that book up and say, I'm having trouble with communication with one of my teammates, and then go find the right chapter and just look at the micro skills for that. And so, yes, you can read it cover to cover, but I feel like people could definitely jump through the index and, depending on what they're struggling with that day, can go find the relevant chapter and pick out specific things to start doing today to make things better. And don't get me wrong, I think it's a wonderful book to read through, but I also think hopefully it'll be a really good reference for people to keep around their desk at work and to just jump from chapter to chapter as new things present themselves. And they're like, okay, what do I do with this? Because I'm struggling.
We're hoping for exactly that. So it's nice to have that come to us unprovoked. And again, my bestie, who I was like, can you read it? Will you read it? She told me, I picked up micro skills and I read the chapter on this. And I read the chapter. I was like, oh, wow. That's our goal. And As Adara shared, you know, we think early career is where this will really land. And also late and mid-career are like, I brushed up on this, I brushed up on that. And we've modernized it. So stuff that was du jour in terms of, we'll say, you know, appearance, hygiene, and dress in the workplace, rules and expectations around that have changed, ideally for the better, here in 2023 versus maybe 2000. And so, you know, we think that also we are going to update some people that are a little out of the game.
I want to also just congratulate Risa, or thank Risa, both, because it was her idea to actually make the TOC, the table of contents, super granular for that exact, a feedback like that people might give us, which is like, it's really hard to find this exact skill. We're like, we should make it super prescriptive.
So was there anything, so this is your chance right now too. Is there anything that we didn't cover during the podcast? Obviously, as I always say with books like this, I mean, there's so much there. There's no way I could even touch on most of the topics. Yeah. So I do a very broad overview, but do you think there's anything specific we didn't touch on or something that you were like, wow, I really hope people walk away from this conversation with this?
Well, I think one thing that we didn't talk about is the value of taking a breath and pausing. Because I have seen many people, and maybe I've done it myself here and there, but I definitely have seen other people tarnish their reputation, even if it's just momentarily, by reacting too quickly to their emotions. And when you asked me to pull up the to think about what we have cut, I found this line. Maybe Risa, we should add this back in. We wrote down, get curious before furious. This idea of
like that,
really trying to learn about the problem and really trying to avoid like a very strong emotional reaction and get to know someone, get to know the situation before anger comes out.
Yeah. I really, to me, especially in interactions with humans outside of the workplace, as well as within, this idea, right? So lead with empathy, I think is very similar, right? As opposed to anger, lead with empathy. Because a lot of times when we actually realize what's angering us, we realize that it's coming from someone else's distress, someone else's problems that now have landed in our lap, and it makes us feel very uncomfortable. But if you can lead with empathy, you're much less likely to send that horrible email that you wish you could claw back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Two things I'll add is just complimenting what you said about get curious, not furious. I was recording recently with Karen Catlin, who writes a lot about workplace allyship, and she actually wrote a book called Belonging in Healthcare, and she talks about that in her book as well as in her newsletter. So I think it's a great phrase. And Jordan, in terms of, you know, what we'd love to highlight, emphasize, and why it's really appreciated the question you asked me about, is this book relevant to me? I do think it's really important that we want everybody to see this as a resource for them. And, you know, having you sort of support us in recording with us and in putting it out to your audience, your network, is super helpful, because in a way it gives it credibility that maybe other people might just brush it aside or be like, that book's not for me. But, you know, if you believe that this book, yeah, it is for me and is for my audience, then we'd love that support.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very, very applicable to financial audiences, because these are really the skills that you're going to build your career with, that you're going to build your partnerships with. I mean, all these things are lucrative, whether it be financially or otherwise. Being able to build these incremental skills into your repertoire, I think are just going to make people much more successful. So I can't imagine a field where this wouldn't be appropriate for, if you want to know the truth, because I think this is just, whether it be even in the workplace or personally, the ideas are the same.
It feels really good to be productive, but a lot of the time it's easier said than done, especially when you need to make time to learn about productivity so you can actually, you know, be productive. But you can start your morning off right and be ready to get stuff done in just a few minutes with the Inc. Productivity Tip of the Day podcast. New episodes drop every weekday, so listen and subscribe to Inc. Productivity Tip of the Day wherever you get your podcasts. That's Inc. Productivity Tip of the Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech moves fast, so keep pace with the Daily Crunch podcast from TechCrunch. with new episodes every day, this podcast will give you a quick overview on everything you need and should know about startups, new tech, regulations, and more. Listen to TechCrunch Daily Crunch now, wherever you get your podcasts. That's TechCrunch Daily Crunch, wherever you get your podcasts.